السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, when we watch what is happening in Palestine and we see our brothers and sisters being killed, it hurts us, and indeed we would like to see a stop to all of that. Not only do we pray, but every single one of us is meant to do whatever is in his or her capacity to stop this warfare, this aggression, this genocide. May Allah Almighty grant us as an ummah victory, and may Allah make it easy for those who are struggling and suffering. Similarly, there are others across the globe who are suffering and struggling, many of them being killed. And sometimes the question is, why does Allah allow this? Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the most kind. Allah is the most magnificent. Why would He allow innocent people, men, women, and children, to be butchered in this particular way? Now, in order for us to understand, the murderer also faces death, even if nobody actually penalized him. Say one person murdered another, there would come a time when the murderer, even if nobody caught him, or if he did not face justice on earth, he will still die. He might die at the age of 70, maybe a little bit more or a little bit less. He could die being murdered himself, or he could die a death that people might call natural, but he also has to go. So it is foolish to commit murder in the first place, because the one who's murdering is also going to die at some point. It's just a little bit delayed. So those who are perpetrating the crimes in Palestine, it's not like they are going to live forever. They too are going to die, even if nobody actually manages to get back at them. They're going to return to Allah, and ultimate justice will always happen on the Day of Judgment. In this world, there are so many people who get away with murder, both literally and figuratively. They get away with crimes in this world. Sometimes you might take a person to court, or the court may pass a ruling to say, in this particular case, for example, that this land actually belongs to the Palestinians, or that a genocide is being committed, even if the International Court of Justice has passed that judgment. Sometimes the perpetrators might get away. And sometimes a court can pass a ruling that was wrong. How many have committed murder in this country, South Africa, and they got away scot-free? And the people felt short-changed, and they felt there was no justice. But ultimate justice will definitely come on the Day of Judgment. So it's just a matter of time. That's what it is. Don't despair. Now, going back to the issue of why Allah would allow this to happen. Remember, He created us in the first place, and we have to return to Him anyway. No matter how you die, you have to die. That's what it is. And death is not a bad thing for a believer, because ultimately, what a connection with your Maker teaches you is that you should just prepare for the day you're going to return to that same Maker. And that's what death is all about. Tuhfatul mu'min al-mawtu. The gift of a believer is actually death. Allah promised you, when you pray, I will give you this reward. When you do charity, I will give you that reward. When you do good, I will give you this. When you stay away from sin, I will give you that. Where are you going to get all of this? You need to go into the hereafter to see the reward that you are going to achieve, right? So if you're not prepared to go into the hereafter, how are you going to go to paradise? And in order to get to the hereafter, you need to die. And if you look at death as a negative thing, then how are you going to get into receiving the most positive thing, which is paradise, when you don't want to go through that death? That's why we are taught, al-mawtu babun wa kullu an-nasi dakhiluhu. Death is a door, and every human being shall go through that door. In fact, it goes beyond humankind to all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every soul shall taste death.
كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ.
Allah says, every soul shall taste death. And indeed, you shall be given your rewards on the Day of Judgment. Allah wants you to understand that you were with Him prior to your birth and you will return to Him after your death. That's why in another verse, Allah says,
ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ.
Every soul shall taste death and then you will return to us, Allah says. In fact, if you hear of the death of anyone, what is the first thing you are taught to say as a believer? Don't we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Why? Because it is impactful in its meaning and it is filled with great meaning, and that is a summary of your existence and mine in a nutshell. Indeed, we belong to Allah and we are all going to return to Allah. Now, when murder has happened, there is a level of death that occurred that may well determine the future of the person killed. If I tell you, look, my brother, you struggled in this world, but don't worry, Allah will reward you in the hereafter. Don't we hear that? It's difficult because we are human beings. It's easy to say it, but difficult to live through it. I need to suffer and struggle on earth. Allah says, look, we created you on earth. We did not guarantee you that you're going to have it smooth sailing. In fact, we will test you one after the other.
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ.
Every time we repeat this verse, where Allah says, we will indeed test all of you. Life is not going to be smooth. You will have a day when you suffer and you think to yourself, when is this going to end? If that happens, Allah says, with the patience that you endure, we will give you a good death and we will give you eternal bliss of paradise. So when you die, is your Lord happy with you or not? If He is pleased with you, you have died a good death. And if He is not pleased with you, no matter what luxuries you had on earth, that was not a good death. How can you die and your Lord is not happy with you? Allah is not happy with you. So Allah says, when we put hardship in your life, it is in order to bring you closer to us and in order to realize the temporary nature of this world. People will take you for a ride. People will rob you. They will steal from you. People will do all sorts of things to you. Sometimes you make poor decisions in your life as a result of which you suffered and struggled. Allah says, take it in your stride and use the situation to come closer to me. Use the situation to come closer to me. Moments ago, I was seated in the front. A youngster comes to me with a very good question and he says, how do I ensure that Allah listens to my dua? And I said, well, develop a relationship with Him. That's in a nutshell. Obviously, the answer of it is long, right? But you want Allah to listen to your dua. Build a connection with Him. So how do you build a connection with Him? You need to make sure you fulfill the duties that He has asked you to fulfill. You know what they are. And stay away from that which He told you to stay away from. You know what it is. And because you're a human, you are going to falter. And when you do falter, seek forgiveness instantly, immediately, and keep seeking forgiveness. And then you see how Allah will answer your dua. Get close to Allah, not only at a time of difficulty, but even at a time of ease. You know, the hadith says, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get acquainted with Allah during your times of ease, and Allah will be acquainted with you during your times of hardship. But when Allah loves you, sometimes you've turned away from Him, He'll create hardship. He wants to bring you closer and closer to Him. You know, I give you an example of sport. In sport, whether it is swimming
or football or whatever you like to participate in or to watch or to be a part of, isn't it that the result is determined by the end? You could be losing at the beginning, it's fine. But if at the end of the game or the race, you are in the front or you are at the top, you won, no matter how it started. I've watched athletics where there was someone who tripped and they got up and they were right at the back. They were so determined that by the time the race ended, they were right in the front. Who won? The person who tripped and who fell down and was last at some point in the race actually came first, because the race is determined not by the fact that they tripped, not by how slow they might have been at the beginning, but how it ended. The same applies to your lives and mine. It's not determined by how it started or what happened in the middle and so on. How did it end? Did it end in a good way? If it did, good news to you. So when Allah Almighty loves you, He gives you the highest rank of the hereafter. What is the highest rank? I'm not a prophet of Allah, nor are you. Prophethood in Islam is of a very high level. When a Christian or someone else tells you these are prophets, for them it means something very different from when a Muslim tells you these are prophets. Today they will call a church leader a prophet because he might prophesy something. But according to us, that's not prophethood. And we believe the unknown and unseen is known by Allah alone. But when Allah Almighty sent prophets to tell us regarding the future, like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah gave him knowledge of the future to the degree that Allah wanted. And he related that to us. He was a prophet. He was the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was his rank? His rank was the highest. We believe afdalul khalqi wa akramur rusuli, the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We believe that. And then who were the others who were chosen by Allah? The other prophets, Jesus may peace be upon him, Moses may peace be upon him, Noah may peace be upon him, Abraham may peace be upon him. I'm using the English names for you to understand. We respect, we revere, we consider them the highest, the top five ranking prophets of Allah. Those are the names I uttered just now. May Allah grant us all goodness. But I'm not a prophet, nor are you. And there will be no more prophets until the day of judgment. So how do I get a good rank? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are truthful, you get a very high rank. And if you bear witness for the right things, you get a very high rank. So the messengers, all of them had certain people around them whom Allah chose to be around them. In the case of Jesus, may peace be upon him, they were disciples. They are made mention of in the Quran. إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ. The term حَوَارِيُّونَ refers to the disciples of Jesus. May peace be upon him and may goodness be for them as well. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also had companions. What do we call them? We call them sahaba. Sahabatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and may goodness be for them too. They were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of them was a witness. A witness to what? He was a witness that this is the Prophet of Allah. And he did good and he taught us everything we needed to know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls them shuhada. Shuhada means those who bore witness. If you die upon that condition, in difficulty and hardship, you are known as a shaheed. Shaheed, we say it means a martyr. In actual language, it means a witness. Shahid is one who witnessed. A person who witnesses, shahid. Shaheed is one who witnessed and he bore witness against all odds. And one who dies while bearing witness, his faith did not falter and he was killed. He's known as a martyr. The same term is used in Islam, a shaheed. He bore witness. So Allah gives them the highest of ranks. Allah gives them the highest of ranks in the hereafter. So much so that in battle, if a person is fighting because he is defending Islam and the Muslims and the cause of justice, he is considered a shaheed if he is killed. So now comes the reason why Allah allows all of this to happen, for those people to have eternal bliss of the highest degrees of paradise. Because trust me, ultimately we all have to die. I'd rather die in a condition that my Lord was pleased with me and that I can have eternal bliss of the hereafter than to die on my bed where my Lord was not pleased with me, but I had the luxuries of the temporary world for 60 to 70 years, even though I did not face any opportunity for me to become a martyr. Now, sometimes you and I know that there might not be such warfare. In the case of Palestine, it is there, it is true. We see people being butchered. Any one of them who've passed on is called a shaheed. They are called shaheed, they are martyrs. They bore witness for the cause of justice and truth. Allah gives them a rank. If they were truthful to Allah, Allah gives them a rank that is far higher than the rank of the ordinary person out there, even among the believers.
فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما.
Allah is sufficient as the all knower. Allah says, those, when He mentions those who believe and do good deeds and seek forgiveness of Allah, and Allah loves them and grants them a high rank. What is the rank Allah speaks about in the Quran? He says, they will be with the prophets in the hereafter. Nabiyeen, was siddiqeen, those who were truthful. When I say I'm a Muslim, it's easy to say I'm a Muslim. Are you really a Muslim? Are you truthful? Are you prepared to sacrifice? Today, our sisters in many countries are being prohibited from putting on a hijab. When they sacrifice and they are truthful to the fact that they are Muslim and they face persecution because they're putting on a hijab, every moment of that sacrifice, their status is being elevated and they are being rewarded just for standing up and doing the right thing. The same applies to you and I as men. We face persecution at times simply because we're Muslims. It's becoming more and more apparent, even though we're in the 21st century, where we would never have believed that it would degenerate to this level. But in so many parts of the globe, people are suffering only because they are Muslim and Islam is a pure faith and it is growing as the fastest religion. And so therefore, they will face persecution. People don't want that something overtakes them. You have a business and another man opens up a business that's quite similar and he's doing better than you. Shaitan will come to you and make you feel jealous. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. So when you face persecution and when you have stood, you are known as a truthful person. You were true to the shahada. What is the shahada? You know, we say, are you ready to say your shahada? Shahada means to bear witness. Are you ready to bear witness? That term shahada, shaheed, shahid, it's all from the same root, shahida. It means to bear witness. What is the shahada? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Or ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. What are you doing? You are bearing witness. Allah says, did you really bear witness? You say, yes, I did. So Allah says, okay, we're going to test you. So someone comes and persecutes you a little bit, you gave up. What witness did you bear? You didn't really bear witness. Someone came and persecuted you or swore at you or shouted at you, you've got to smile and say, oh Allah, I'm still a witness. They can do what they want to me, I'm a witness. That is called shahada. Now you are bearing witness. If you die as a result, guess what? You are called a shaheed, a martyr. And that's why Allah says, the prophets and those who are truthful. The companions were truthful to their word. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was known as As-Siddiq because he was truthful. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said, that I've been to Mi'raj and I went up to the heavens and I've returned. He said, if he said it, I believe it. Subhanallah. He's a truthful man. If he did not lie about worldly matters, he will never lie about the matters of the hereafter. If a person is a liar, he's going to lie to con you, to dupe you, to cheat you, to make you think that he's a good person, etc. in this world. Regarding the hereafter, why should they lie? Why should a prophet of Allah lie? May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. So, Nabiyyina wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada, and the martyrs. Look at the martyrs. They are being mentioned with the prophets and the truthful. What a rank of Allah. If Allah wants a rank for you, He puts you in a quota. What's the meaning of a quota? Did you know that Allah has a certain number of people which He will definitely make sure that they earn the rank of martyrdom? He has that number. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ Allahu Akbar. Allah says He wants to know the believers from among you, the hypocrites from among you. He wants to distinguish between the two. You said you believe. Do you really believe or you are filled with hypocrisy? Allah says, we'll test you one after the other. If you are truthful, Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ Allah allows certain things to happen. Allah allows certain people to be killed in order for Him to fill His quota of martyrs who will have the highest ranks. Some people need to give their lives for a cause. That's when the cause will move forward. When the Battle of Badr took place, what was at stake? The whole of Islam was at stake. There were 313 Muslims. They were prepared to give their lives in order for the message that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger to go forward. In order for that message to come to you and I today, 313 people were prepared to give up their lives. Some of them lost their lives as a result. Allah loved them so much that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one narration, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالِ اعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ How do you know? Allah Almighty looked at the hearts of the people who participated in the Battle of Badr and Allah told them, do what you want from today. Allah is pleased with you. It's okay. No matter what you do in your life, you are going to be successful. That's why some of them, and very few who may have done some things that were questionable. The Prophet ﷺ says, be careful what you say about these people. No matter how much you spend, it will not equate anything that they spent. Even if you spend a mountain full of gold in the cause of Allah, and they spent one handful of gold, one handful of anything, theirs is better than yours because they were prepared to sacrifice. They lost their lives. Look at the Battle of Uhud. Why did they fight? Look at the Battle of the Trench. Why did they fight? If you look at all of this, you realize it's for a cause. Someone somewhere is going to risk their lives in order for the rest of the people to live in safety. And those who lose their lives, Allah says, you will have the rank of martyrdom. Even if you did not lose your life, and even those on the other side, there will come a day when you have to die anyway. Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira radiallahu anhuma, he was a great man. He was a warrior. Do you know what? He died on his bed, even though there was no spot on his body. There was not an inch on his body that didn't have marks of daggers and spears and swords to prove that he was a warrior. He says, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا All of those cowards out there who think that I'm not going to stand for a cause because I might die, let them know I fought in every battle and I didn't die. Here I am dying on my bed, a death that is not even on the battlefield. Subhanallah. They say, and just a point of interest, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhuma, he was known as Saifullah, the sword of Allah. If he had died in a battlefield, the enemy would be able to say, we broke the sword of Allah. So part of the wisdom of it is he did not die in the battlefield. He died on his bed. Nobody could ever say, we broke the sword of Allah. That's an interesting point, an interesting factor that some of the scholars have made mention of. Nonetheless, when Allah has chosen for people to pass away in a certain way, it might seem very demeaning and ugly to you and I, but in the eyes of Allah, it might be the most blessed death. I want to quickly go through certain people and certain of those who pass on. When they die, they are granted the rank of martyrdom, the highest possible rank, because they died for the correct cause. You know, those who die in an army, in a nation, to defend the nation, they are draped in the flag of that particular nation. They are given a 21-gun salute. I don't know if you know about this. And they are made, they are sometimes given a national heroic burial and so on. Why? Because they died for a cause, to defend the nation. When you die to defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah grants you way beyond that. Those who passed away because of someone trying to steal their wealth are considered shaheed. If you die, if you are killed because you are protecting your wealth, your family, your dignity, and your own life, you are granted the rank of martyrdom immediately. So you see murder happening even here in South Africa. There is a lot of crime. You and I know that. Many people say, I don't want to go to South Africa because of the crime. But they don't realize you're living in America, there's more crime there. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. Nonetheless, if a person dies being shot dead because of a cell phone, because of something, obviously we don't want that to happen. But a consolation for the family of those who, of the one who was killed, is that this person died a martyr. They are shaheed. They have a high rank. Similarly, when you die in a plague, those who died in corona, for example, they died a martyr. Why? They bore witness, they were mu'mineen, they bore sabr and patience upon the deen. They didn't lose their faith in Allah when they were on the point of death. They kept it going. Those who die because of any ailment to do with the belly, those who have drowned. And there's so many categories that I probably would not mention today. There are more than 20 categories of martyrs. So remember something. It's not about how you died. It's about whether Allah is pleased with you at the point of death and what you're going to get thereafter. The people who died on the wrong side of the battle, even though they were killed, they are not martyrs. Why? They were not witnesses for the right cause. They were witnesses for the wrong cause. The enemy today, when they are killing and butchering our brothers and sisters, if some of them were butchered or some of them died or were killed, where do they go? That's why Allah says, we have ihda al-husnayain. We have one of the two good things. Either we are killed and we will go to paradise, or we win and we get victory on earth. Win-win situation always. And as for you, O enemy, you're either going to die at our hands or Allah's going to take you away anyway. So it's not like you're going to live forever. So my brothers and sisters, do not despair. Do not despair. There are so many people who are granted the rank of martyrdom by Allah. Ask Allah for a good death, an easy death, where He is pleased with you. I mention another quick point before I end, and that is, do you know Allah loves you and I so much that He doesn't allow you to taste pain beyond a degree? If you are in pain, you can only taste pain up to a point. After that, it goes numb. After that, for example, you might die. So if you're losing blood, after a few minutes, 7-8 minutes, depending on how much and which, where you're losing blood from, a few minutes later, your body goes numb and you're gone. You're actually dead. People say, but he lost so much blood. He must have suffered. No. Allah is so merciful. He said, beyond this point, I won't allow you to suffer. I'll just take you away. You can be happy here. People might think, oh, you did this and you went through this. They don't know you are happy with me. Subhanallah. You know, when you get sliced, Allah's way of creating us is so unique that the central nervous system is something mind-boggling. I always am baffled by those who don't believe in a Lord and a Maker. That can't you look within the body? It will help you to recognize the fact that there's definitely a Maker behind all of this. May Allah grant us goodness. My brothers and sisters, you and I know as an ummah, we are struggling. We need unity. We need a good respect amongst each other. We need to stand up for each other. When the enemy comes, do you know what he does? He makes us into small groups so that he can tackle one at a time. And that's why whenever there is anyone who is trying to fragment the Muslim ummah, knowingly or unknowingly, that person is an enemy of Islam. Remember this, no matter who they are. Sometimes they don't know, they are innocent. They think, I'm a big scholar, let me tell the people, all those guys are kafirs, we are Muslims, those people are astray, these people are hypocrites. That person might be a scholar, unknowingly he's an enemy of Islam. Because the only way this ummah is going to go forward is when we are together. I'm standing on this pulpit today in front of you to tell you, please learn to respect each other, stand for each other as a Muslim. And understand, there will be differences in the ummah. We may not be exactly the same. We are all members of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The victory will only come when we can forge an understanding and a unity to fight the cause together. Because separately we are not going to win at all. The enemy has a divide and rule policy from the beginning.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ.
The disbelievers, they all stand up for one another, support each other against you. That's what Allah is saying. If you are not going to stand together and support each other and protect each other, then there's going to be chaos and fasad on earth. Hence, we are witnessing the chaos today. If we were together and united, nobody would dare lift a finger against us. They would know, as soon as you mention a name, the whole world will come after you.
May Allah Almighty grant us goodness and understanding. I fulfill the duty of mine today. May Allah Almighty truly grant us the ability to appreciate and to work towards that which is pleasing to Allah. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.